Hello, and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice, which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy. Hello, everybody. We are in for another wonderful, wonderful chat. Sitting in front of me is Luella Frost. Welcome, Luella.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I'm keen for this conversation. We were saying before we hit record how we're looking forward to it and that the power of a chat, right?
Exactly. Yep. And let's just see what emerges.
Yeah. Please take a moment on stage in the spotlight and introduce yourself and a little bit about what you do.
Oh, thank you so much. So, yes, I am a professional coach for health leaders. So my background is as a health professional, as an occupational therapist, and as a leader manager in the disability sector most recently. And that's where I became really interested in the topic of leadership and management, and had my own experiences leading teams and also the opportunity to experience professional coaching myself. So that's what led me to want to learn more about coaching and ultimately to train as a professional coach and now to be a credentialed coach with the International Coaching Federation and working with lots and lots of talented health professionals and health leaders in the work that I do. Yeah.
That occupational therapy DNA, it takes you to a lot of places, doesn't it?
It really does. I think, those core skills in occupational therapy are so applicable across so many contexts, and I'm really enjoying applying them to the organisational context these days. And supporting people to flourish in their professional roles. Interestingly, though, if we're doing well, you know, outside of work, we're a whole person, aren't we? So I'm also very interested in how our wellness generally contributes to our success in leadership.
So with extensive occupational therapy experience in the disability field, what was your thinking about, oh, coaching looks good, let's do that? Like, tell us about that moment.
Yeah. So interesting. A few different threads were happening, Kathy, over a few years. So at the time that I was leading teams, in the latter part of that time, there was a really significant cultural change happening in the disability sector, which I'm sure everybody is aware of, is that we went from a completely different type of funded model to the NDIS funding scheme. So that required a complete cultural change in the organisation that I was working for at the time around how we related to what are now, you know, our customers and needing to win every client that came to see us for therapy services. So no longer were we funded en masse through state government contracts to provide those services, moving to the insurance model. So I had the privilege of being part of a leadership team to lead that change in thinking across a number of allied health professionals in our service. And I, in my own career, was moving into more senior roles, so leading leaders, you know, leading team leaders who had their own teams of allied health professionals. And I found those team leaders to be highly capable, very intelligent, talented leaders. And the transactional style of leadership, of compliance, was definitely not going to cut it for those capable and resourceful staff. So I became interested in how can I be a better leader for those staff, and had the opportunity simultaneously myself to be offered the chance to experience professional coaching and, you know, have some real wins out of that type of support. So that really made me interested in the coaching style of leadership. And when there was an opportunity for me to take some time away from my salaried position and do something a bit different, that's what I wanted to do, is to learn more about how to coach. And that took me to the pathway of actually completing a coaching certificate and then further studies and training in coaching. And now, you know, have the pleasure and the privilege of applying that skill set to support other health leaders in their own leadership journeys and in their journeys of practicing their allied health discipline.
And someone asks you, well, what is coaching? It's a bit like back in the day when they used to say, well, what does an occupational therapist do? Like, we'll just park that piece. But when someone says, what's coaching, how do you reply? We can compare notes.
Well, yeah, we absolutely can. Yeah, and it is a great question, because coaching is not a registered or regulated profession, as we might be familiar with in some of the other allied health disciplines. And there are lots of different interpretations out there. My understanding is that coaching is a special type of conversation where the coach supports the coachee to do their own best thinking.
Yeah.
And to make their own best decisions for themselves. So it's a partnership where the coach is facilitating that, you know, fantastic thinking in the coachee. So it's not an expert learner type dynamic. It's a partnership. And through the use of skillful questioning, the coach supports the coachee to come to new insights and, importantly, identify what action they want to take to move forward towards the goal that's most meaningful for them. So very aligned with occupational therapy practice, but also I think health practice that's interested in supporting people to achieve their own goals and outcomes that are meaningful for them.
I remember speaking with a wonderful woman I know who is a coach, and we sort of pulled it apart, and we don't know if we ever really got to the bottom of it, but where it landed was coaching is about asking, and sort of management or training, and there's lots of micro definitions, is more about telling. Sometimes even clinical supervision can be around telling, which just breaks my heart, but that's another topic. But coaching for me, if I think of the core pieces, is bringing out the best in personal autonomy and being able to help people self-solve, and by listening and asking and reflecting and having frameworks to progress a conversation. You're there holding a lot of space for people to kind of think themselves to their own solutions in a way.
Yeah, exactly, Kathy. So, you know, it's not the only tool in the toolkit as a leader, as a manager. Training, mentoring, you know, fantastic, and exactly the right approaches in some settings and for some learners, some employees, some workers in some contexts. My feeling is, and really happy to chat this through with you some more, is that if you're leading people who are generally highly motivated and have quite a degree of skill, existing skill, to work from, that a coaching approach is a great one to use as your default. and then to draw on other approaches in agreement with, if you like, your coachee. So actually talk with them about what sort of conversation would be most helpful for you around this topic that you brought today or that we're talking about today. The coach, in a coaching style, where you're coming from is that you already believe the other person is okay. So you believe that they're doing a good job, you know, that they're capable, that they're resourceful, that they've overcome challenges before in the past. And you really believe that they can move forward towards their goals. And that may not always be the case, in which case you use a different approach. If that's where you're at with a person that you're leading, this coaching is a really useful one because it does help the person to become more capable, to grow their own capability and their own sense of their own capability over time, which if you're a busy leader manager with lots of responsibilities, you actually do want your capable people to grow that capacity over time, them to bring more and more challenges to you for you to solve. That doesn't actually help you as the busy practice owner or the busy team leader. And actually, it may not serve them that well either.
Yeah.
To be reinforced, you know, how clever you are and how many solutions you have. What is likely to serve them better is a sense of, actually, I have overcome that challenge. These are my own strengths that I applied to solve that challenge, or this is how I got the help that I needed. What does this make possible for me now that I've done that? And that is incredibly rewarding in the coach role, you know, if you're in that leader manager role, to have that impact on someone that you're leading. That's a really, you know, fantastic experience for you to have, to see someone nail their own goals rather than you nailing them for them.
During my coaching training, I remember being absolutely fascinated and took away what's turned out to be a lifelong skill, but gaining insight about the differences of coaching, consulting, mentoring, training, supervising, like we can put them all on out on the spectrum, and building in that self-awareness about when I was in which role and whether or not that was the best place for me to be or whether I needed to shift out to more of a questioning coaching place or whether I needed to get permission. Do you want me to tell you what I think or whatever? And to have this sort of range of ways that I could interact was incredibly powerful. And my coach training is by far and away, head and shoulders, the best professional training I've ever done.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I really connect with what you're saying because actually for me, rightly or wrongly, it was a few years into management roles that I really, really deeply thought about how am I being in this role, not about the service management. And that's probably what I spent a lot of time thinking about is managing the service and managing the people in the service and
doing all the things.
All the things, yeah, getting better all the time and all that sort of thing. I think my studies in coaching and other fantastic leaders that I was able to learn from helped me realize actually growing your own self-awareness first around how am I self-leading, how am I in this conversation, what do I feel right now? And exactly, I love the way you highlighted, you know, how do I want to be, what's the best way for me to be for the other person? And there are choices around how I am. Let's consider what those choices are and, you know, creating that pause, that mindful pause to really be able to carefully select the approach that we want to use to best serve the other person. I think it's been really, really important for me to learn, and it's really exciting to see other people and hear other people like yourself, Kathy, and other leaders describe, that's been really powerful for them too. And not just at work, you know, in other roles in their life too, you know, parenting is a classic one. Yeah, in their relationships, that they've really valued that opportunity to get to know themselves better and self-lead with that, and that knowledge really informing how they lead others.
There may have been one moment at our kitchen bench when teenage daughter said, oh, for goodness sake, you're the only mother that answers a question with a question. Just tell me what to do. And I thought, okay, right, well, that's been made very clear.
Yes, I would say that that is very clear. And, you know, I often say in my group coaching program, there's nothing more frustrating than being met with a question when you want an answer. So let's not say in allied health practice, in leadership, that coaching is the only way. And it's really important that people do have access to great training opportunities and to also clearly understand what's expected of them, you know, what's the benchmark and how can I get there? So that is as important. I think in my own experience, though, the emphasis has been on teaching and training and PD, lots of clinical PD, incredibly important. And I think personally there's a greater opportunity to explore the opportunity for coaching to enhance our client relationships, but also our work relationships. And actually, professional coaching has been accessed in other sectors, in other industries for quite some time. So this is something that, for whatever reason, we haven't spent as much time or energy exploring in health. And I think that's changing.
Yeah, I do too. And I think this is one of the reasons that I get a little bit thingy about clinical supervision. Because like you alluded to before, a whole spectacular human comes to work and they certainly have a clinical element of their role, but there's other roles that they have as that human in the organisation. And there's other ways to, I believe, there's additional ways that the clinician will deliver remarkable outcomes with clients as well. Clinical governance, it's got to be there, but there's lots of other things that can really come into play as well.
Absolutely. You know, if you believe, as in the clinical supervisor role, if you believe that it's quite possible that your supervisee actually has a fantastic idea to help their client hidden within them, just out of reach at the moment, and that you might be able to help them unlock that idea that's theirs, you know, then anything is possible. But if you honestly believe that they don't have that within them and that the only way they're going to get that is from asking you, then that will shape the type of conversation you have. So I think you can imbibe a coaching approach into supervisory relationships, even with, you know, quite newly graduated clinicians. It's that sort of base of where I'm coming from is I believe in you and I'm your resource to help you get to where you're going. So, you know, let's have that type of conversation.
Let's shift ever so slightly. You're now running your own business. What's that like?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really, really good. Thank you. Yeah, incredibly rewarding, challenging, and the perfect place from which to sit and encounter all of those, you know, self-beliefs that we all have and work out which ones are actually serving me really well and which ones do I want to tackle. I find working for yourself, it's just a continual experience of it's like the best personal development I've ever done is running your own business, because you're just coming up against all your triggers all the time. Yeah. And if you want to move forward, you've got to tackle them. Yeah. So it's great. Yeah.
What have been some of your most significant learning moments?
Hey there. Okay, it's time for a breather. Did you know about our Allied Health Biz Quiz? This is not just any quiz. It's a roadmap to growth. tailored specifically for allied health business owners like you. Hundreds of business owners have taken our free quiz and received their own customized report. And if you have already, kudos to you. We hope you found it useful. But if you haven't yet, our free quiz takes less than 6 minutes to complete. It asks a series of questions based on our tried and trusted business accelerators. Think of the Allied Health Biz Quiz as a tool to measure where you're at, what's working, and how to build on what you already have. This quiz isn't about pointing out what's wrong with your business. It's about setting standards, measuring progress, and uncovering areas for improvement. Complete the Allied Health Biz Quiz today. You'll receive your own detailed customized report loaded with practical suggestions to help you get the best business brilliance outcomes. You can find the link in the show notes or on our website at naker.com.au. And now it's back to the conversation.
I think, you know, I'm a preparer. When I started the business, the way I started it was actually did some my own studies in business. So I felt that I had a really good handle on how to set up the bones, the financial bones of a practice, and be really measured and strategic in my approach to my business objectives and all those sorts of things. And I still believe that's really important. What I think I've gotten better at is the opportunities that arise over time and really stepping out of my own comfort zone. The mindset that's really helped me is experiment. Mm-hmm. And learn. So previous, I would say, previous career experiences, very keen to get things right. And now what served me really particularly well in this space of owning my own business is try and learn. So there is no disaster. There's always something to be learned from what happened, what you did, how you reflected. There's only good learning that can come of it. Yeah. And that's really helped me take action, which is what you got to do, you know, in business. You've got to actually be willing to just do it. You know, planning and structure, all good. To a point, that can't get in the way of actually taking the action and making change. You know, making things different, having a positive influence, you've just got to do it. So, yeah, that's definitely been a key learning area for me, Kathy.
that vertical learning curve. Which part of business do you like the most?
I'd say the freedom, flexibility, they have all been really fantastic for me. The working out, what I love doing and what I feel I'm best at doing, and the process of, okay, that's great. Are people interested in accessing that? So that was an important part of the process, of course. Yes, they are combining all that together. I mean, it's so incredibly rewarding to feel like you're in a place that honestly is not work. You know, is just, you know, so incredibly rewarding. The work, I think, now is continually challenging my own self-beliefs about what's possible for me, what's possible for the business, because really, honest, you know, those limits are often put on ourselves by ourselves, mm-hmm. not by anyone else. Mm-hmm. And I'm like everybody else, you know, I continually catch myself thinking, well, whose story is that? You know, is that real, what I'm telling myself there, or what I hear myself saying to somebody else? So, I continually, you know, self-coach, but also access coaching to help me take the next steps in my own business. Yeah.
What I kind of just took from that last piece is a bit about mindset. I think we need to chat about that, but also self-limiting beliefs. And particularly in the early, well, maybe always in business, you're asking yourself, well, who do I need to be? And what do I need to be thinking about next? And how do I drive this thing? And oh, hello, how do I get myself out of my own way as well? And I think some of this kind of sits a bit with the imposter syndrome as well. And I was at a International Women's Day lunch last Friday, so we're recording in mid-March 2024. And the guest speaker spoke in lots of different ways about our personal mindsets and in lots of different ways about imposter syndrome and who we need to be wherever we are. And I think this shows up in business ownership because for some reason we don't feel qualified to run a business because we weren't taught that at uni. Thank goodness we weren't taught it at uni because they may not have done a really good job. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I mean, I certainly, personally, I never thought I would be self-employed. It wasn't a personal goal that I had. It really arose out of what do I love doing professionally? What gives me the most satisfaction? Where do I feel I have the most impact? And what do other people think? You know, that's an important piece as well. And as I said to you, is that something that's of value to others? That's what drove me to start working for myself and my own life circumstances too. Like, so where I'm at, you know, freedom and flexibility around my own hours is hugely beneficial for me. And that might change in the future. But in terms of my own values, so right now what's really important to the way I live my own life and what I see, not to get too sort of metaphysical about it, but what I see my purpose is right now, what I do at work is so so clearly connected to that for me. So that's, you know, what's getting me up in the morning. And I'm sure your listeners, you know, your practice, the practice owners feel exactly the same. You know, it's something pretty deep that's driving them to do what they're doing. And that's what makes it worthwhile to really break down those internal barriers, which sometimes have been there for a long, long, long time. You know, yeah, those beliefs have come from somewhere. They may have come from all sorts of experiences that we've had or our interpretations of experiences other people have had, and they can feel really real. So it's that, you know, okay, if I want to deliver this purpose and get these results for the people that I'm serving, then this is what I need to do. This is the work now, is working out what is truly holding me back. Why do I spend time doing this rather than this thing that's going to have the bigger impact? Let's be curious about my own behavior, why I do more of that rather than this powerful thing I could be doing. So yeah, that's why it's hard because you're continually coming up against that. But it's the good work. That is the good work that's really going to get you there.
I wanted to ask about an optimal mindset for owning an allied health business. And I think you've just explained it beautifully, but is there anything else that business owners can think about in terms of sensing into their mindset and perhaps what it might require?
Yeah. Well, I'm very lucky because I do both professionally and personally see some very successful practice owners, and you feature a lot in your podcast, Kathy. And I ask them and learn from them what's serving you. You know, how do you keep doing it? And what I hear is, yeah, having an inner coach rather than an inner critic. Mm-hmm. So really noticing, what am I saying to myself? What is the self-talk? Yeah. And I've got to be responsible for that self-talk. You know, there's nobody else that's going to be my own personal cheer squad each and every day. I've got to be that person for myself. And also, how can I both think strategically and act strategically? So I know you have explored a lot around goals, and I think this is really key as the practice owner. So taking action to, you know, setting goals and taking action towards those goals, working out what's standing in the way of me taking action towards those goals. Those goals can be both, we're going to get something, my clients, my customers are going to achieve something, or I'm going to get this outcome in the business, Or it could be equally motivating. We're going to avoid this bad thing from happening. That's equally valid as a goal. And we might be motivated. Some people might be more motivated by those sorts of goals than the outcomes, if you like. So that's quite okay. I think understanding what works best for you, what's truly most motivating for you, and ensuring that you are doing your best thinking around what will help me get to that particular outcome that I want, and optimizing your time and your energy towards that focus is really key, because there's so many things you could be doing in your business and with your time and energy. Having a really clear focus on where you want to get to and why, and how you're going to be, how you're going to self-lead, first of all, yourself towards that outcome. I think they're all fantastic aspects, you know, fantastic qualities to have as a successful business owner.
Yeah. The concept of being your own inner coach is really, really interesting. And I'm reasonably certain, very certain, that I coach myself more than I almost realize. It's almost just an inbuilt thing that I do. But for that to work optimally means I need to have time to do it. Sometimes I call it blue sky thinking. Sometimes it's solution hunting, all sorts of things. But it means that I have time, I have space, I have no technology in front of me. It's thinking time. And I worked with I still continue to work with a wonderful coach, and she shows up as my thinking partner, right? Mm. And so that brings a bit more structure to it. But the privilege of having what we think is spare time but is actually critical thinking time, game changer.
That's really interesting to hear you say that, and reinforces my own belief that, yeah, people like yourself, you know, really making change, pioneers, you know, out there supporting other people to become leaders themselves, they do invest time, energy, resources into dreaming,
yeah.
Dreaming, you know, creating a vision, and yes, also thinking. But I wondered, you know, does that word dream, does that ring true for you? Yeah. So, yeah, you know, you've got to have some opportunities where you are allowing yourself to dream about what's possible before you start critically analyzing that idea. Sometimes we're so quick to apply our logical part of our brains to, you know, well, what would be the problems with that? Or, you know, how would I manage this? That won't work. Or, you know, well, what about that person? Or, you know, da, 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 da. And, you know, we can be so busy too that that's the pattern that our brain will go to. But I think it's so powerful to intentionally create space in the diary, but I'm also looking outside, you know, looking at actually taking yourself into environments that inspire you to dream. Because as the business owner, whether you're a solopreneur or you're running, you know, a practice with multiple sites or what have you, you are the visionary. Mm. Like, you're the one who is setting the direction, and you need to communicate that vision in a way that inspires other people. So it's actually one of the most valuable things you can do is to give yourself an opportunity to develop that vision and be, you know, then being able to share it with others and access the wisdom and the experience of others to help you grow that vision. It's just so important. So, yeah, so interesting to hear you say that, and that you too, you know, actually prioritize that and get support in doing that. It's, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, every day essential. I think it circles back to leading yourself first, actually, before you can lead others.
And I'm really interested, Kathy, may I ask, like, how does that show up for you? What do you do?
Across a day and a week, I have routines that are built in that enable me to think, very fortunate to live in a beautiful, natural, often quite windy and wild and wet environment, hanging onto the edge of Bass Strait. So having a physical natural environment that is, I find, very supportive. It's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, yeah, but I make sure that I'm in nature every day. I think there's just other, well, there are other routes. There are morning routines, there are midday routines, there are evening routines, there's thinking time built in every single day. I have very firm boundaries about technology use, all sorts of small little habits. And I think it's back to those atomic habits and James Clear that all the one percenters add up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, they really do, don't they? Because, you know, every moment of your life is really an opportunity to restore your energy, apply your energy in a meaningful way, deplete your energy. And even with downtime, which is so important, you know, everybody needs a break, what we choose to do and how we reflect on what we spend our time doing, you know, thinking about, do I feel nourished, you know, as a result of what I chose to do with that time? How do I feel afterwards and during? You know, sometimes it's really uncomfortable to ask ourselves that, you know, and it's like, oh, give me a break, you know.
I take myself to the hammock for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, and perhaps it is, Kathy, if you feel, restored by that. You know, I love reading and I love watching period dramas. So, you know, a day of reading novels or, watching that sort of TV, fantastic. And I do feel restored. There's other activities that I may engage in from time to time. Social media, I'm looking at you. You know, which, I'm really aware actually aren't, you know, don't serve me well. So I try to keep a lid on that sort of thing and be really mindful around how I'm using my time and energy. That's the sort of introspection, self-reflection that I think starts this journey of like, okay, I am in charge of myself, you know, and if I want to lead other people, you know, a key way of doing that is showing that I am doing my own work. And also I think that there's an opportunity there to role model. Everybody's in charge of themselves. Actually, nobody is in charge of anybody else. You know, everybody makes their own decisions. And if you're leading somebody, sure, you want to support them to make their own decisions. So, it's been really helpful for me. It's a continual journey. Fantastic to hear you've got some really great strategies and routines that you know work for you. And it actually, it doesn't surprise me because that's what I hear, from successful leaders is that they really are very attentive to themselves, actually, and getting themselves in the way they want to be to show up in their business and show up for other people in their business, their customers, their staff.
And just like business, you've got to be prepared, in my experience, to change your strategy and to retool the toolkit and to have a sense of when a particular activity or thought is no longer helpful. Because if I was still using the same energetic management toolkit, you know, of during COVID or 10 years ago, it wouldn't work. And I think sometimes this is where you start to tail off the effect of your habits and you sort of think, well, that stuff doesn't work, whereas in fact that stuff just isn't working any longer. You've got to retool and reevaluate where you're at and what you need in the next phase, whether it's in the next day or the next week or the next month, whatever the time frame.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, people that I work with can have be quite sure that they're working towards a particular outcome that they want in their own leadership practice or in the work they're doing with their team. The next time I see them, I'll always ask them, so, you know, what are you bringing to coaching today? What's important to you today? Because things do change. Yeah, the goalposts shift hugely, not just in business, but in life. And we're always recalibrating, rechecking in. I think that's, being responsive and being clever, being strategic around where's the opportunity to, you know, where do I need to pivot and where should I pivot to better serve the population that I'm serving, whether that be my customers and my staff.
Got a few minutes left. I would like to shift the conversation to the outcomes of coaching. So we're both coaches, we receive and participate in coaching ourselves. What do you see as the benefits?
Wow, that's actually a huge question. So I do think that there is a really big opportunity for coaching, leadership coaching and coaching in health practices to support people to have really satisfying careers.
Mm-hmm.
However, I say that with a caveat because my experience has been that it is really important if the leaders want to build a coaching culture in their practice, you know, in their staff group, they have got to be able to access a coaching style of leadership themselves. Mm. So, you know, if you support your staff to, you know, access coaching, for example, that's great. They will then have experienced coaching and they'll learn about how to coach, you know, the people that they're working with. Fantastic. They'll now be looking to you as the leader, you know, for that sort of relationship. So, you know, if you also need to be open and curious to what are some different ways of leading. So absolutely supporting people to grow with your business rather than out of your business. So because you if you're relating to somebody in that coaching style, you're really curious about what do they want out of their career. And you're curious around how might we be able to craft that here? If you want to retain this very valuable individual, you know, it's very skilled, fantastic person in your team, you know, you've got to be open and curious to hearing what they're bringing to the table, them as a whole person, you know, and also you need to be a little bit vulnerable that you may not know yet how you might support that ambition going forward and be able to sit with that and actually partner with that person in creating that future for themselves in your practice. Mm. You know, so it's a bit different and it's a bit out there and really different from more traditional environments. But hey, you know, in private practice, it's a dynamic environment. Anything's possible. You can have any sort of conversation that you want to have with your staff. And coaching really gives you some great skills to open up conversations and really look at what are this person's particular strengths, what's their values, and where do they want to go in their own career and how can we work together to make that happen. I think that's probably a key thing. And as I say, there is a lot of interest from leaders about how they can create a coaching culture where their team members are coaching each other using coaching in supervision or peer coaching, using coaching clinically. Mm-hmm. And to that I would say fantastic, so much opportunity for strengthening of team relationships and teamwork. Do the work in accessing coaching yourself and learning about how you can coach as the leader, and you know, the sky's the limit then.
Mm. We haven't even touched on using a coach approach with clients. Oh my gosh, that can be our next podcast later in the year.
So much. Yeah.
That is just a whole box of awesome.
Well, exactly. And I think lots of clinicians are seeing the difference, you know, in their clinical outcomes. So imagine if we came to work and we thought of ourselves as leader coaches. And that's happening. Look, there are health and social care providers out there working in a very flat structure And there aren't, there aren't managers, there's coaches, you know, and they're local coaches available to as a resource for the team to draw on. Because let's face it, the vast majority of practicing health professionals are capable, are resourceful, you know, are certainly highly intelligent, you know, you know, they, it's not often that, certainly not the rule, that people need a transactional style. There's so much opportunity to support people with a good dose of coaching in your leadership style. And I'm so excited that more and more people are interested in adding those skills to their skill set.
All righty. So very, very grateful for our conversation. It's been lovely to catch up. I'll let you have the last say, if you like, Luella. What would you like listeners to be thinking about?
Thanks, Kathy. And I just want to say thank you so much for the invitation. It's been a really great chat, really good to talk to you. And thank you for your leadership, Kathy, which, you know, it's been very inspiring to me personally, but I know to lots of people in the allied health practice space. And you brought a lot of the stuff that was previously unseen or unspoken about out to life and shared, you know, and talked and networked and collaborated on. And I think that's been an incredibly valuable thing for all of us. Thank you so much. For the last word, last say, I'd say, look, leadership is its own skill set. You know, you can develop skills in it. You can get better in it, at it. You can enjoy it. You can grow as a leader. You can help other people grow their own leadership skills. This is its own thing, as well as excellence in clinical service delivery, excellence in your financial management as a business owner. There's this whole piece around how you show up as the leader of your own team that's got so much opportunity to be explored. And I really, love to see people getting excited about that and wanting to learn more about how they can dial up their own effectiveness as a leader in the health space.
Thank you so, so, so much. Looking forward to the next episode now, Luella.
Oh, thank you so much, Kathy. It's been really, really great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.